Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland. It's the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it is also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, according to the Prime Minister John Key, the former Federal Reserve banker, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Now, today we've had a little bit of a mix-up with our guests, and they haven't turned up. Nobody's turned up. So, we're wondering, would anybody like to call in and have a wee bit of a chat? You know? How long has it been since we've taken callers on the show? I think it might have been a couple of months at least. So, we're going to crack those caller lines open. The number is 218-339-8525. And it appears that we already have a caller named Nathan. Let's unmute him and see what happens. Nathan, are you there?
Hey.
Take that as a no.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, wait, we
a
got you.
Bit.
I can hear you.
All right, I'm so sorry. I was hoping that I'd be off the freeway by this time. I do have my headset on, so I am nice and safe and able to drive. Thank you for taking my call today, Ben, Benny.
Hey, you're welcome, man. I don't normally take callers, so this is the great one. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm just continuing on with my frustration here in America. I know it's not such an issue in other countries where a citizen is considered a subject. I've been trying to get people to check out the idea that not here in America, it's not that our constitutional rights are being stripped away, but that we never have had them. And that's the argument that I'm making because of the fact that I have not been able to find anything to stick to the wall to the contrary to that. When Declaration of Independence was brought about and the Constitution, they were specifically talking about another party, the 39 individuals in the Constitution and their posterity. That's why they were all capitalized. Posterity is capitalized, people is capitalized, and we is capitalized. And I just wanted to put out that for all the people that are in America, not in America, that are listening to this show, I thank you again for having me on, to just consider the idea that maybe they're wrong, and that we've always been subjects, and it's never been that the only real freedom that we have is the right of self-determination, which is an international idea or law, I guess you could say. It's called the right of self-determination. And I've been working on this for quite a while, doing a lot of research. I'm trying to dive deep into Black's Law Dictionary and compare that with Webster's Dictionary. And I find out that everything I, think I know, especially when it comes to our word, when it comes to the Black's Law Dictionary, it's completely different. So I know that we're all very, on the same page as, yes, we're slaves and whatnot, especially in other countries. But here in America, there's this huge movement of people who think that we can, say, restore the Constitution. And so far as what I've found,
you're talking about the sovereign movement.
Go ahead.
The sovereign movement and all of that, yeah?
Yes, the sovereign citizen movement. If that is not true, all I would say is if you're wrong, but if a sovereign citizen or anyone in the Patriot movement who thinks that they have constitutional rights, that something gives them, some other man or institution or whatever else, gives them all these rights. If they're wrong, then that would squarely put their argument right back on them, to where the government isn't the criminals. The people, unfortunately, are in the idea that we are usurping somebody else's intellectual property and physical property, and we are but mere tenants, and we are biting the hand that feed us. And until we in larger numbers get that underneath our belts, at least have a conversation about it, I really don't see anything coming from any conversation that we have. We have to at least get this out of the way first and determine, what and who owns us. And if that's the case, then we have the blue and red pill situation in the Matrix. You either decide if you want to just accept the blue pill and be a good slave, or if you want to figure out just what it's going to take to not be a slave anymore. And so far as what I found is that it is very possible, but it does take a lot of
I think it takes a shockingly large amount of work and research. Essentially, it soaks up your entire life trying to figure out what really is, because you've previously spent the however many years of your life that you've currently been alive absorbing lies and the meanings to those, and now you have to find out the truth and the meaning to those, to all of those things. Nathan, one, thank you very much for your call, brother. We're going to go to our next caller now in a 410 area code. Caller, you're on the air. You've been holding for about 4 minutes there.
Yeah, good to speak to you, Vinny. The 410 area code is what I call the Baltimore-Washington area security zone corridor, since you probably have one of the highest concentration of military, industrial, and intelligence installations within a stone's throw of my house and just about anywhere else in the country. Although now it's spread so much, you have the mushrooming of the new complex out of Denver, and of course there's Northern Virginia down the road from me, and there's areas of, in a way, they're doing this all over the country. You know, we'll just be a, we'll sort of be a gulag archipelago of ironclad fortresses with little theme parks scattered in between for the wealthy global tourists that come to maybe hunt and vacation, and we'll be privileged to be performers in these theme parks if we're lucky. Get to wear like at Disney. You know, to me, Disney.
Yeah.
When Disney. Have you ever been to what do they call it? Epcot. The you know what Epcot stands for, right? Down there in Orlando. The Epcot Center. It stands for. You know what the acronym Epcot stands for?
I've never heard of it before in my life.
Okay, if you go to Disney World in Florida, in Orlando, Florida, one of their probably the most popular attraction is a futuristic complex of rides and exhibits called Epcot. And it was when they debuted Disney World, this was the thing that they were essentially selling. And this is why many people go there to see this. Epcot stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. Now, understand that virtually the entire county down there around Orlando is owned by Disney. It's like a private preserve, almost kind of a semi-feudal thing. But that's, to me, that's the map of the future. If you really want to see a total surveillance state, essentially, you know, if you go to Disney, you never, of course, they're not like these American tourists that come and spend a week or a weekend at Disney World.
You know,
but it's
this is interesting because when I think technocratic, horrific vision of the future, I think Disneyland.
Yes. Yes, because you go there, and here's something interesting I've learned. Now, over the years, I've known people who actually, out of college, got their first jobs working at Disney World. I know someone who went to Penn State, and you know this was while they were waiting for a career to open up in software and business analysis. They took a job as an intern down there at Disney World, riding one of these little kiddie trains around. She didn't have to wear one of those horrible costumes they have to wear, but
not even a little hat.
Something, yeah, right, exactly. A little uniform and hat, a little conductor's hat. You know, you've seen the pictures of this, but of course, she has now she has two children, and she takes them there. She literally, Disney is a Catholic thing to her. Do you know what I'm saying? It's become kind of a religious thing. She's raising her children according to Disney. On the other hand, someone else I know who went there recently tells me that budget cuts and the state of the economy now, they're not cleaning up the trash at Disney as much. The rides are not being maintained. Infrastructure is not being maintained. And the thing is starting to look rather decrepit. Now here's the core of my argument. Yes, all of us understand that it's about that the bread and circuses thing, it's about mind control via the circus, via the society of the spectacle, in whatever form it occurs, whether it's through fabricated terror, as in Boston or Sandy Hook, or whether it's the escapism of, NFL playoffs. It's all about holding people's minds. And Aldous Huxley definitely saw this a lot. Philip K. Dick, they all talked about this. People would embrace their slavery willingly. But the problem with that only can be sustained as long as there's a supply of bread, a continuous supply of bread. When the goodies start to run out, the integrity of the illusion collapses, or it starts to shred. And that's when things become very, very dicey and very, very unstable. I also want to make another point here. In the last week or two, I've just been stunned by the amount, by the quality and the sheer volume of technical research being done out there on the web around this Boston Marathon hoax. The detailed analysis of photographs, good work, really good stuff. Everybody's making videos. When I compare it to the reaction to Sandy Hook, it's like things have mushroomed exponentially. This is out of the bottle now. This genie's out of the bottle, and they know they can't put it back in. They might be able to derail it.
Yeah, maybe they can't pull off false flags anymore without them being exposed.
Here's the thing. People, right, exactly. There's a law of diminishing returns. At a certain point, enough people are hip to this, or even just suspicious of it. You know, after a while, people are even the most numb mind-destroyed individual is bound to start kind of shaking their head and saying, you know, this is one inconsistency after another. You know, it starts to wear out, starts to run threadbare after a while. I have always felt that they would much rather stage, that they would much rather use things like natural, make things appear to be natural disasters. They'd much rather stampede the herd using something that can be described as disguised as an act of God or a natural disaster than these rather sloppy, messy terrorist events. The terrorist events, to me, are almost like, you know, they're like keeping the movie aspect of it in, maintaining a certain plot line, because the war on terror, obviously, there's a lot of people that are still heavily invested in the war on terror, and they don't want to give it up. You've got infrastructures
Apparently, Halliburton's very heavily invested in terrorism.
Well, I'd never even heard of Kraft International. I wasn't even keeping up, or that they use this silly Punisher logo on their uniforms and their caps. That's something I've learned from. But it's amazing how many people are now hip to it. So they're going to be looking for that. The other thing is, you see the recycling of the same faces. They Photoshop the same faces from one event to the next, and people have caught this. In some cases, they're reusing the same crisis actors for interviews. Apparently, people have now identified, and it's pretty clear to me, I'm no expert, but you could tell this is the same woman being interviewed within minutes of the Marathon bombing, and then there's days later, there's CNN once again interviewing her in Watertown as these terrible Chechenian boys are being hunted down. And it's just stunning to see this, and you realize, oh, they're starting to cut sequestration is starting to have its costs, is starting to bear its impact. The budget cuts are, they're reusing the same people, and you know what's going to happen. People are going to get hip to it. And they know this. Everybody knows this. It's not a matter of numbers.
There's an old saying, you know, you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time.
I think that's normally, usually it's attributed to Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if he was the first one to say it, but I don't think it's a question of numbers anyway. I mean, people have this image of, like, you know, storming the Bastille or the Winter Palace. That's not how societies turn over. It's about quality. It's about that 3-5% that.
It's quality, not quantity. I want to thank you for your call, man. That was quite a good rant there. And we have another caller on the line in an 812 area code. I hope you're okay to hold on over the break, and we'll go straight to you as soon as we come back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed it taught us our standards have gone with us. Our needs are now different, and our aims. The conditions which framed it taught us our standards have gone with us.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're going to go to that caller now. You've been holding on the line for 10 minutes. Incredibly patient and fabulous of you. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinnie. My name is Gabe Rivera. I'm with InTheDrugWarToday.com. I really appreciate you taking the time to take calls.
Oh, wow, man. Glad you can call up. You said InTheDrugWar.com?
It's InTheDrugWarToday.com. I've caught your show a couple of times in the past few weeks, and you've had some just amazing guests on. I connected with that Gura, the dude that does the octagon stuff.
Right.
Awesome stuff. Yeah,
I'm terrible with names. Like, I get so many guests on all the time, I can barely remember who they are or what we were talking about, you know, because I'm on to the next one.
Yeah, he did all that Europe exposing Octagon, and he's kind of like a European Freeman, I guess you could consider him. Like, he goes and shows, like, all the different architecture and how it's connected to royal bloodline lineage.
And the Knights Templar and all of that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His family been harassed by the secret police and whatnot over there.
Mm.
Yeah, but through your show, I was able to connect with him through YouTube, and I've been dialoguing with him, and it's awesome to feel this. You know, I get to hear somebody on the Vinny Eastwood show, and I'm connecting with them through YouTube. It's like I'm part of this awesome movement.
Well, see, that's the whole point of the show, really, is that I don't have a whole lot of time personally to go through into the details of what these people do and all of their research and things like that. But I make sure that all their websites and YouTube links and things like that are all provided so that the listeners, if they're particularly interested in one particular guest, can go and find out as much as they want about that person. You know, that's part of the service, I guess. Can I ask you... You Gabe Rivera from inthedrugwartoday.com. What exactly got you started in the drug war, as it were, in this particular vein?
Well, it took a lot of study. I began the journey in 93, well, actually 1990, attending Indiana University for an environmental science degree. And Indiana University is thorough in that they explain to you that the environment is going to die horribly, and we're all going to die with it. And then it's a political science. It's in the School of Political and Environmental Affairs, so you get a poli-sci degree as well, where they explain to you that there is not one damn thing that you can do about it, that the president's agenda is locked down by the CIA, and that's how it rolls.
This just doesn't make any sense, does it? Unless you're a criminal psychopath and you want to use the environment as a weapon against people. Have you noticed that? You can disarm people's reason and logic by saying, oh, the environment's going to kill you.
Well, I think this is an old, old game. And I think people have just been so caught up in it that, you know, it takes Vinny Eastwood and others, Gira, you know, people that are trying to make the mainstream media is so thorough. And has been. Another one of the people I've been in contact with through your show is that Joseph Atwill with the Caesar's Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
And there you see that Christianity has been the same thing as the mainstream media since the go.
Yeah. And democracy has been the same thing since the pharaohs being kings ruled over us. Have you noticed how nothing really, really changes? It's just... the appearances change, but the game stays the same. And it's been like that for umpteen thousands of years, hasn't it?
It is, and that's why I tried to take the heart nugget and turn it into a five-word statement and explain to people that the, you know, $45 billion or so dollars that were made today by, you know, inappropriate industries can easily be undone by... we just decide to grow up as human beings and quit waging a drug war against each other that's making us all mad anyway.
Well, yeah, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Every time I've looked at a place where drugs have been legalized or decriminalized, it doesn't matter which, they both have a very positive effect. What I found interesting as well is that people stop taking drugs once they become legal. Have you noticed that? In the Netherlands, they used to have, similar to what New Zealanders smoke today in terms of cannabis, they'll be smoking about maybe 1 in 8 people, so 2 out of every 10 or so, between 10 and 20%, roughly, right? And then they put in these coffee shops and these different regulations that allowed people to carry a certain amount and buy a certain amount, no legal ramifications. And then it went from 1 in 8 to 1 in 21 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A massive, massive drop. Like 2/3 of people who were smoking just stopped. And they did a survey of these people who stopped using. And they said, well, why? It's legal now. You don't have to worry about getting busted. And they say, you know what? It's because my social circles changed. Because I was no longer afraid of being busted, I didn't have to hang out with a specific group of people who were also doing a criminal act at the same time as me. And I realized after we were no longer criminals together that we had nothing in common. And so I stopped smoking weed with them and stopped smoking weed altogether. Isn't that interesting? So the drug law, just because it's illegal to smoke pot, it makes you want to smoke pot illegally with other people who want to smoke pot illegally.
Or heroin or cocaine. And the drug war is so thorough and so immaculate. I think Gura, the guy that you had on your show, calls it a toxic warfare on humanity. A friend of mine went out to McDonald's the other day, met a girl, took a drive, and within 15 minutes, she was offering to smoke meth. So it's just this horrible pandemic that, you know, a whole youth is being. And in Europe and Russia and all these places, I think, are much worse with being so close to the whole. Somebody is now unveiling that they were paid by the CIA, the president of Afghanistan. They were paid exorbitant sums by the CIA, according to the BBC, just yesterday or something.
Yep. That doesn't surprise me as well. Apparently, the largest CIA complex outside of Langley, Virginia, is in Afghanistan, running the poppies. In fact, I had a New Zealand veteran who was over there, and he was with some Australian soldiers as well, and they were asked to guard these big, you know, shipping containers, right? And they're like, why are we guarding shipping containers? And they're like, no, don't ask questions, just guard them. And so naturally, being Australians and New Zealanders, we're a bit of a bunch of cheeky guys, we decided to take a look. And sure enough, it was packed on pallets 8 feet high with dried poppies ready for shipping and processing. And it was the CIA guys telling us to guard it. Now, if you think that a drug war exists to keep people safe from drugs, why is the government selling all the drugs then, when it's illegal?
Yeah, that was Dura's complaint, I guess, when he filmed the drug dealers. They'd deal their drugs right outside of the police station, and that when he tried to film them, that they would, you know, utilize the police to clean him off the street versus vice versa. And it is. It's a really sad state of affairs. I think about this 19-year-old girl, you know, didn't even know my other friend, and within 15 minutes of knowing him is wanting to smoke meth, and this isn't an easy road to get out of, and certainly not in the area where I live, because she'll be in and out of jail, and I think the post-traumatic stress disorder that those institutions cause will further, you know, down spiral her. But you know, we're spending $45 billion here in America for this drug war annually, and simply by no longer spending that, we could take that money and spend it on harvesting hemp for fuel or harvesting hemp for clothes and returning that money towards the taxpayer. And people want to complain about economics when there's a real simple solution.
Well, they make sure that there is problems, essentially. Without problems, there's no reactions and no solutions that they can propose, right, to make themselves richer and more powerful and take our rights off us and destroy our countries and collapse the economies and take our kids.
Right. I'd hate to stop all that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's just a terrible thing, you know? People walking around free, actually caring about their children, not addicted to huge quantities of imported heroin, not smoking meth, not drinking alcohol, and then going straight from the liquor store to the gun store, which is incidentally on the same corner in Harlem, you know? Imagine if all that didn't happen. It would just be a terrible, you know, society would collapse as we know it. Whether or not collapses, we know it would be a bad thing. I don't know.
I'm calling it the new renaissance, you know, and I think it's through the Vinnie Eastwood Show and your efforts. You know, I've met some amazing people through listening to your show, and the ability for us to, I'm amazed, you know, I can be on the show, feel comfortable talking about these ideas, and that I might even have this is going to continue and become a more positive experience, and maybe even the BBC is going to learn a thing or two and continue to put this information out there just for the CIA's children and the drug cartels' children and the elite's children don't have to deal with the curse of maybe their daughter will get too drunk and end up on some pills, and it's just not the way to die. And I think this new renaissance where we do indeed as individuals have freedom and learn how to work together versus go through this insane opium war that's been going on since pharaohs decided to build pyramids in honor of whatever, with and oppress foreign nations for tithings against their will. But it's now, you know, here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, that the unwinding of 5,000 years of oppression can become, hey, let's all work together.
Well, I came up with a new word while you were doing that. You're talking about the neo-Renaissance. Well, in fact, I think it's actually an evolution of the human mind that we're going through because of the excess information and excess technology that we've now got access to. It's allowing people to basically be exposed to things that can radically change their minds and radically evolve their beings and radically change their lives. And I call this a neuro-Renaissance. So...
That's good.
Yeah. Because you got to really think about this. I mean, I thought about this the other day, right, Gabe, that have I learned something today that I didn't know yesterday? Or have I changed my habits today and doing something different from yesterday? If the answer is no, pretty much on any day, then in my opinion, I'm starting to stagnate and I need to change it up. Whatever changes it up matters not, whether it's a good experience or a bit of new information or a bit of learning or something of that nature, or if it's mass quantities of suffering and anguish and fear and anger, all that stuff's really, really good for changing your mind about things. You know, I don't know if you've ever been arrested, bro, but that fear of the cops... And that that feeling of helplessness when you're handcuffed in the back of the car and you know that your life is practically over, that changes massive parts of your brain in a very neuro-Renaissance kind of way. It allows for other stuff to come in that you'd previously completely deny. No, the cops are nice. They're good people, you know. They're just wearing their blue uniforms that look really intimidating and have about 17 different weapons on their hips because they're nice guys and they're just trying to help out.
Oh, God.
Gotta be freaking kidding me.
You know, people have bought it for 5,000 years. And again, when you look at Atwill's thesis and some of the things he has to say, I searched for Jesus for 20 years. As a historian, I just want one piece of information. And to come to realize that it was this obfuscation of the facts in order to allow people to stand at the front lines for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 wealthy people that are laughing, bathing their blood for an extended life sentence, or extended life term. Well, you know, I can see history maybe somewhere along the way that might have made sense for a people to gain power, so the other people that are trying to come at you don't do this, and it just got so out of hand. But yeah, it is this neuro-Renaissance that, you know, being able to come to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, get the reality break of, yeah, no, there's a clear line of we see who wrote these Gospels, why they wrote these Gospels, the same reason the mainstream media is doing spin one, spin two, spin three, constant spin. And so as we connect the 2,000 year ago dots with now, and we can hop on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, connect with chatters in the chat room, etc., boy, there's a lot of power.
Allegedly, you know. You just got to pick which pill you want to take. Do you want to take the red pill or do you want to take the gospel? Because if a story's real old, like old stories are in the Bible, I think people make the mistake that it suddenly loses relevance and that you can't take lessons from things that didn't happen today or in a society anything like today. But, you know, history does repeat itself. And there's a hell of a lot of wisdom in text and culture and things like that. And they'll actually show you how we came to be who we are today. That knowledge is actually really quite powerful. Because if you know how we came into it, you'll certainly be able to figure out a way to get out of it, won't you? We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. That was Gabe Rivera from EndTheDrugWarToday.com. Back in a minute. We'll be right back.
That's about right.
Gentlemen, to the From the Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the Island Change Nation, in the sunny slave South Pacific. The caller number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. I'm going to go back to our caller from inthedrugwartoday.com, because I like him, because he keeps saying the Vinnie Eastwood Show when he's on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Gabe, are you still there?
Yeah, well, I think it helps to remind people there's only four people in the chat room, which I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, because I've dealt with alternative truth movement for a very long time, and a busy chat room can mean a lot of people that are trying to be a diversion sometimes. So I'm not sure if you've made it through the, I don't know, troll wars, you want to call them, to a point where they're not haranguing you. But I hope soon a lot more people participate. I was curious, were you able to make rent all right? I heard you talking last week about rent.
Oh, yeah. We've got, we had the rent last week covered. This week's covered. Next week? Mm-mm. No. And also on top of that, if I can give a little bit of visual aid, you'll be able to watch this on the video later, I guess. We've got these little Bluetooth wireless microphones, right? Now, the receiver doesn't work, but the microphone does. So it's got a signal, but it can't pick up the signal, you know? So it's I'm going to have to get another set. That's the real problem with it, or get it fixed. It cost me like over $500, if I recall correctly, just to buy these little things. And I must have recorded probably say well over a few hundred public meetings and protests. I've got like 6,500 videos on my YouTube channel. So, you know, if anybody is capable of, you know, helping me to replace these, donations would be really, really handy. And of course, when PayPal pinged me and then just said, oh, well, you know, you're not a charity, therefore you can't have a charity account, therefore we're going to lock your account for 180 days, I kind of lost all my PayPal subscribers at that point. And so I got into this little mode of trying to find alternatives to PayPal, you know, and key word here, though, viable alternatives to PayPal. They don't freaking exist, bro. Like, honestly, I must have tried out like 15 to 20 different programs and sites and stuff from all over the world. They all sucked. Could barely do anything with them. And they're even more complicated and more difficult to use. So I just created a new PayPal account. I just created a new PayPal account, and then all my problems with PayPal were solved, incidentally. So, you know, people can go to the homepage there, and there's a donate button and a subscribe button. The subscribers are really what I'm after, honestly, because if I've got that regular income of somebody giving a couple of dollars a month, one guy's even given $50 a month, but, you know, I don't expect anybody to be as generous as that, then I've got something, a base income to work from, don't have to stress about it. If I'm not stressed, I'm so much, you know how if you've got a clear head because you're not worrying about money, like, you know that the money's going to be there or whatever at the end of the week. That's kind of what's going on right now, and I want to get that kind of feeling back, because I had it, you know, a couple of months back. We were sweet as, you know. We were rocking it. We were saving up to get new gear and everything like that, and then this thing happened. Just blew it all out of the water. Life's funny like that, eh?
Well, I don't think people realize how much these show hosts put in to these programs and what it really takes to run a show, come up with guests every day, put out substantive material, come up with it with a witty take and make it, you know, intriguing for guests and audience, and consistently do this, not just from a psychological perspective, but you do have to maintain that if people want to hear a nice sound, that doesn't come cheap, unfortunately, and, you know, you provide a great sound and video, and I can watch the YouTube. join the chat room, which is why I'm trying to reiterate, you know, that this is the Vinnie Eastwood show. I don't understand why there's not 30, 50, 200 people in the chat room congratulating you and thanking you for all your efforts, especially, you know, connecting someone like me with Gira, with Joseph Atwill, and the potential to have this dialogue with people in the chat room, you, you know, 6,500 shows recorded, and this is a platform for the people. Where are they at? You know, it is beyond a valuable resource. It is really an essential thread to the survival of humanity. I wish I could joke about that. You know, the Vinnie Eastwood show is a essential thread to the survival of humanity, because if we don't get these jarring cognitive dissonance associations, especially with professionals at task at hand who can help guide you and make it humorous and interesting for years and daily, and we're not going to make it, guys. I hate to fear factor like that, but
there's that whole we thing again though, Gabe. You know, I don't believe in the royal we. There's just me, and there's just you, and every other listener, and everything. It's just you too. Okay, right. You're not part of some big pack or anything. Not to mention, this show I've found tends to separate the wheat from the chaff. You know how there's those people who get offended real easily, and they get really, really angry, and they start attacking you, calling your name, stuff like that. This show gets rid of them, because I tick people off who are like that so very, very quickly, because they know that I'm not a douchebag and I'm actually happy and I'm having fun. So that really, really ticks them off. So they start getting angry and angry, and then they switch off, and they're just like, thank goodness, away beast. And then there's the other people, more like yourself and myself, who understand a few basic principles in the universe. Number one, I don't know everything. Number two, if you're going to spend all your life being upset and angry about stuff, what the hell's the point in life? So let's have a few laughs instead. And that's about it. And you'll be surprised how few people like that there are who are willing to listen and judge things based on their merit, no matter what it might be, whether it be UFOs or the drug war, you know, and everything in between that we cover on this show. I mean, I don't know. All of the stuff that gets talked about on this show is 100% onto the money or anything like that, but I'm interested in just to listen and find out, ask some questions, and have a few laughs while doing it.
I think the dynamic is going to change, and I think there's a little bit of quietude within the truth movement, and I think that's the setup. I think there was a little bit of a setup where there was a gatekeeping system, so to speak, to keep people frustrated that come to your chat room, things as such. And to keep it simple, Leonard Horowitz sued Alex Jones in a Hawaiian court for his business practices. And I believe this lawsuit has created a little bit of space within the truth movement to be less harangued and, you know, where people aren't going to have to even put up as much of a positive defense as you have mastered. Myself, I have had to dip into troll wars galore to hold water, and, you know, done my time in jail because I couldn't stop using the internet because it was part of my scholastic. But I think this new renaissance that you are helping inspire is now. It is this moment right here, and people are going to realize it's like, wow, I can come to the Vinnie Eastwood show and hang out, connect with these people that are creative, talented, have a deep understanding of things that oppress humanity, can turn it into something lighthearted with which we can have a hope that by tomorrow, dreams can come true. I mean, that's the nature of life, you know, this lighthearted manner that you're talking about, taking all this stuff, it's a dream state, and it's fantastic that you can keep that going despite whatever hardships the road to maintaining that kind of outward manifestation is, not just for you, but through all the character hosts, people that have maintained shows, character appearances. And so as much as I lament that there isn't more of a movement right now, I think this is how the Nero Renaissance started, there aren't a lot of people like what you're describing. But I think
the key is that there don't have to be. You know, the Renaissance wasn't kicked off by all the masses. It was kicked off by a few people, and everybody followed along.
It's when the Medicis decided to let the people express themselves to their fullest potential, and I think this show, these efforts, are that. They could easily shut us down. They could easily make sure that you didn't have rent this month. Myself not be able to make this call, you know, the guy that does the Octagon stuff a bit long ago been locked up, but I think we're seeing the turn in humanity by which the oppressor is going to allow the oppressed to mock them, show how they've been plundered throughout millennia, and even better yet, rise to a new state where we can, hey, everybody call Vinny, talk to him about something that you find important in life, and have him network you, and you can be here on this vehicle and platform, connecting in a myriad of ways, and become the solution.
You know, that's really good, man, Gabe, and I want to thank you for your call, bro. Because just thinking about this as well, I'm not doing this show necessarily because I want to. I'm doing it because of a lack of options, okay? You should have seen the last time I went for a job interview. I had a panic attack. I can't be employed by anybody anymore. I can't work for people, but I can work with people just fine. And goodness knows, there are a lot of people out there who work independently of everybody else, who have very, very controversial opinions that happen to be the truth, and nobody else seems to have the guts to interview them. Well, if you know of one such person, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, click on the contact page, send us their email, and we'll get them on the show. It's what we do. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand. Now, I also wanted to mention today that I just uploaded a few videos before the show, coming out doing a protest against state asset sales in New Zealand here. Now, it's the same thing that happens all over the place. World Bank, IMF, in their own documents, I believe the World Bank even had a white papers of 111-point plan leaked about their curtailing of state ownership and the desire to privately purchase resource extractors and power generators, strategic assets all around the world. And here we are in New Zealand selling off our most major power generating companies who have like huge quantities of like dams and stuff all along these big New Zealand rivers. You just think about this. Fits exactly with the profile and the plan, doesn't it? And incidentally, a year before, well, probably towards the end of 2012 anyway, we get a new Reserve Bank governor. you know, similar to the position of Bernanke in the States, right? Or Greenspan, who used to work for, you guessed it, the World Bank. So what's he doing? Coming over here to orchestrate the sale? I don't know. But the point of fact is so clear, so obvious, and so odious as to suggest that scumbaggery elements have indeed taken over New Zealand, have indeed taken over the United States, have indeed taken over England and any other English speakers around the world who happen to be listening now. I can assure you, whichever country of residence you're living in, no matter what the native tongue might be, it's quite likely just in the control of scumbags. You know, and all scumbags look nice from the outside, all of them. But there's usually dirty little secrets and skeletons in the closet that each of them happen to have that you might not be aware of. This is what I'm talking about when I'm going to protest. I'm trying to get this information out. You know what everybody else is doing when they've got a megaphone? They say cut back, we say fight back. You know, when your rights are under attack, stand up, fight back. Nobody gets informed an iota about what's going on, who the orchestrators are, what elements of scumbaggery are involved. That's what I do. I think that's probably what I've done my entire life. I'm 6'4", right? So I've got to fit in wherever I can, and usually I'm big enough to fill in whatever's missing. Plenty of people come up to me and compliment me on the usage of the megaphone and talking about all these other elements, you know, the banking scumbaggery and what have you behind these asset sales that we are trying to stop. I'm not sure if it's by any means necessary. Wouldn't want anybody to get hurt over it. Because the other part of it is, how do you stop something? How do you stop a massive agenda that's been played out for decades, that is run by the very people who are supposed to protect you from those kind of practices? How do you stop it? And the answer is, for most veteran protesters and activists that I've seen who have long since given up all hope that they can stop it altogether and take the country in a new direction, the very best they say you can hope for is to delay. And by all means, delay. But again, how can we stop these things from happening? I don't know. Lots of people have suggestions. Some people say sovereignty. You know, file your right of return or whatever documentation you need to fill out in order to declare that I'm a free man. I don't have to pay your taxes. I don't have to abide by your statutes. I'm not going to hurt nobody. I'm not going to damage nobody's property. I'm not going to be a thief or anything. And I don't want anything from you. Just leave me alone. People think that that might be the solution. But, you know, in a way, that's a solution for one person. Sure, you can get out of the system. But I've experienced many people who have done this. Most of them are very, very, shall we say, squeezed, pulled over for no reason, harassed for no reason, locked up for no reason, tortured, have all their assets taken off them, have their houses taken, lose their jobs, lose their office buildings, so on and so forth. So what happens to a lot of these people who go down this route? Not that the route ain't a good way to go, but you will probably lose everything and have to start all over again. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that a solution that does work for some people means that you have to lose everything? What can we do with the country, though? You know, think about this. You got all this military spending. You've got a judiciary that is obviously corrupt. And if it ain't corrupt, then it's biased. And if it ain't biased, then it's corrupt. It's one of the two. You have a executive branch that trods over anything the legislative branch wants to resist. You know, doesn't matter. New Zealand's the same thing. We have, like, what, polls saying 78% of people, 80% plus of people don't want the assets to be sold. What does the government do? It rushes it through under urgency. You know, boom, done in there. People in Congress and in the Senate say, hey, we don't want gun bans in America. So what do they say they're going to do? Rush it through under executive order. It's the same deal. What's the difference? The agenda continues. Again, how can we expose these scumbags and all their eclectic scumbaggery for all to see? If we're too afraid to talk about it, if we're too afraid to yell and scream about it. What? I look nuts because I'm upset that my country is being taken over, that goodness knows how many innocent people are going to jail every minute. How many people are being sent overseas to die so that drug-running scumbags working for the CIA can make more money? And I'm not supposed to get upset about it? Are you kidding me? How can we stop this? I mean, maybe the best we can do is just hope to delay it and find some kind of coping mechanism and just go, okay, well, you know, the world's the way it is and there's nothing I can really do about it. I'm just going to sit back and try and distract myself, watch a few movies or maybe I'll go back and I'll watch The Sopranos over again or something like that. Maybe I'll try a new form of coffee. Maybe it'll be a better idea for me to go out and get a new pair of shoes or something like that, and maybe I'll get Subway while I'm doing it. Is there infinite ways to distract yourself from the fact that everything really sucks? Yes, there is. Is it the right thing to do? Is it going to stop the things that suck from happening? I don't think so. I think the things that are scumbaggery in our society have actually figured out that people need to be endlessly distracted in pretty much every conceivable way possible in order to prevent them from taking any action that will have any real effect. That's it, isn't it? Everybody got to stop being distracted. Yeah. How much time do we spend watching television? How much time do we spend playing computer games? How much time do we spend watching movies or consuming other people's content? Basically, how much time are we spent as consumers versus how much time are we spent as creators? Is that the key here? If instead of 90% of people create nothing and consume what 5% of people make, and the other 5% just basically barely get a look in because they're either too crap or too controversial. So you got basically 95% voicelessness controlled by 5% of boisterousness. And people wonder why things aren't changing. It's because you're not getting an active diversity of opinion there. You're not getting an active diversity in reaction times. People won't react if everything's saying don't react. I don't know how other people feel about this. Like, if you've ever had some form of authority figure, any form of authority figure who you feel is completely unjustly treating you, how many of you get the urge, but control yourself, and you don't do it, but you just get the urge to smack them upside the head and just go, oi, shut up. You are a pathetic, groveling, slime bag, bullying psychopath. Shut up. Get back in your little car, have a few drinks and drive home or something. Hopefully you'll get caught in one of your own frickin' checkpoints. Won't that be a laugh? Just bugger off. Stop oppressing me. Do you see him oppressing me? You know, you want to scream out for help, but you know that there's nobody who's going to help you. You want to abuse the guy. You want to attack him, but you know that ain't going to help you. We're getting into a point in society now where having natural reactions to bad situations is being viewed as an offence. You know, something you could be locked away for. You did what was right, therefore you get locked away. What does this disincentivize doing the right thing? I think it does. And even if somebody has success, very few other people will want to try it because it scares the heck out of them. You know, you're supposed to do something every day that scares you, really, allegedly. You know, you're not made of glass. You can take a few hits. And you're not going to live forever. So what's the point in trying to lock yourself away? Because you're not really going to preserve yourself. All you're going to do is curtail yourself. Not going to have any real experiences. You mean stuck at home, listen to the radio, listen to some New Zealander drone on about how you're not doing enough. And surprise, surprise, you keep listening and keep not doing enough. I'm joking, of course. I don't want to insult anybody. But it's true, isn't it? Even when we think we're helping ourselves by consuming something that's sort of enlightening or whatever. Like, how many documentaries did I watch in the start of this? And, you know, like 160 in a couple of months or something like that. You know, it was just a broad brush awakening for me. And then I got straight into making my own content and then half consuming it. And now I'm pretty much fully creating content. And I'm sure there's people who are 100% consuming this and not creating any of their own. Now, it doesn't necessarily need to be content for the radio. I mean, just think about humanity. Just think about the problems that it's got and how massive they are and how multifaceted they are. It means that you could do anything at all and make a positive difference. Isn't that great? Because everything's screwed, all you have to do is do anything and you automatically make a positive difference, okay? Because otherwise there wouldn't be that positive difference from you making that positive difference. Isn't that interesting? So, if you start a radio show, great! You're actually going to learn how to do a radio show. If you do a short film, same thing. Anything that you choose to do that you admire, that you get inspires you, that you're passionate about, anything you choose to actually get off the couch to do, automatically gives you experiences. Okay? By default, you can't avoid experiences when you're actually doing something. And they're very, very valuable because you can learn huge quantities off of your experiences. If you only experience things by proxy, and this was my problem because I was thinking to myself, man, I'm only experiencing all these guests and everything that I have on the show by proxy. I don't actually know any of the information. I don't actually know what where these people actually live or what kind of life they've gone through. I haven't done the research. I haven't read all those books and all those things that they have done. Therefore, I'm kind of at an odd end. Where's my experience in all of this? Listening to somebody, sure, that's fine. That's not really a real experience, though, is it? In a lot of ways, you know, got to get out there, got to do this. And sure enough, I do get out there and got my megaphone broken and my microphone's broken in the same weekend. You know, tell me that isn't a disincentive to go out and do that. Hey, and I got insulted by these by a couple of slave scum as well. Told me to go get a job. It's more experience. Because I was just thinking about this, how out of touch I had become. I had ignored what George Norrie had told me, which you got to talk to the people. Just the ordinary people, just get out there and frickin' talk to them. Because they're the ones who really matter. The people who listen to the radio shows whose opinions actually matter. Isn't that interesting? My opinion doesn't matter. Not a whole lot. Not any more than anyone does. It just depends. How far are you willing to go to enforce your opinion and make sure that what you feel is right gets accomplished? I feel that I'm doing my part, trying to expose a little bit of scumbaggery, trying to give a little bit of airtime to people who deserve it. But how much is that reciprocated? How hard do you really have to work before you even think that you're making a difference? Ponder this over the break. We'll be right back. The call-in number is 218-339-8525. That's 218 1-800-339-8525. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. And I don't have a guest today, so what I was going to do, actually, I finished it last night. I'll play for y'all, leave us the nomenclature, the InfoWars Paul Revere film competition video that we did. It's actually a radio play. It's not meant to really be a film. We didn't really get round to making the film because it was like wet and it was Anzac Day and all of these other kind of stuff. But anyway, I'll play it for you now. It's about 7.5 minutes. I hope you enjoy it. It gave me a few laughs anyway. All right. Here we go. So it's called A Life Half Lived. And yeah, here we go.
A Life Half Lived. A film by Mikhail Pierce and Vinnie Eastwood.
Sometime in the near future, a squad of commandos has been dispatched to a small community outside the city walls. Target in sight. Meanwhile, in a small family home, a mother sits reading her newspaper when she hears a knock on her door.
Hi, Mum.
Oh, sweetheart, I haven't seen you for so long. Are you okay? What happened?
Oh, I failed to indicate making a right turn, just the standard pullover and work over. I'm sweet as, though. Doctors are kind of overly paranoid about this sort of head trauma stuff.
Oh, dear. Come inside, I'll make you a coffee.
Hell yes. Is it certified modifying?
What isn't these days?
Back in the bush, the commandos are also having a coffee break, stimulating themselves on toxic, cancer-causing, genetically modified corporate waste runoff of the cowardly new world order scum! I'm sorry, I'm ranting. I said I'd get back to your film. Good brew. What is this? Monsanto Macchiato freeze-dried full metal sachet, sir!
Ow!
Quietly, you moron.
What have you been up to?
Oh, just the usual.
In other news, a shocking protest was pulled off today at a Bilderberg conference in Guam.
We know who you are and what your evil plan is! You will be defeated, you scumbags!
You know, just quietly exposing scumbaggery.
Life is a humble process of badgering corrupt politicians and drinking too much while worrying about getting exterminated.
Confucius saying.
Oh, what do you mean exterminated? I'm confused.
He said that too.
Well, who could that be?
Oh, God, what a bunch of propaganda. Hey, who is that, Mum?
Oh, it's the census.
Again?
Well, it makes for more efficient government.
More efficient at busting into your house with guns?
You're exaggerating. The government would never do something like that. The party I'm voting for is promising change.
Change for the worse? Both sides serve the same master. I think it's time you woke up.
A good place to start is Infowars.com. Here's a DVD of my favourite Alex Jones documentary. Nothing is as it appears.
Hello? Yes, this is she. Yes? But I paid that last week. 33 cents still owing and you're going to cut my power off? Now listen here, young man. Hello? Hello? That insolent moron hung up on me.
Doesn't surprise me.
guess that's just another example of the society we've allowed to be built around us. Our most basic needs are now controlled by a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. They talk about a gang problem when they are the gang problem.
Now you're sounding like a conspiracy theorist. Hello? This is the Government Surveillance Service. You have uttered the words conspiracy theorist in a hushed tone. Have you anything to hide? Everything's fine, Stuart. Thanks very much for your concern.
Just outside, the commandos are now in position, preparing for attack.
It's so nice and quiet out here. It's away from the slave blocks that are next to the train tracks. Well, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Can I help you?
Sir, I am here to inform you of a violation of a council bylaw. Your access bin is facing the wrong way.
Wait, are you serious? Has there been any reported injuries or damage to private property, complaints from the public?
Well, no, sir.
Then please leave the property and face the bin the right way round on your way out.
As the Nazi trash inspector is leaving, the three commandos are sneaking into the backyard, weapons drawn. Meanwhile, inside, dinner is being prepared.
I'm very proud of you. I wish I could do that.
You don't have to do it right. You don't have to do it perfect. You just do it.
I'm just afraid of all these government people.
Don't be afraid. Just laugh more. It's a good way to deal with fear. A life lived in fear is a life half lived. Confucius say.
Indeed he does. That must be your father. Home already?
Home police, get down on the ground. Get on the ground. You got a permit for that turnip? Is it certified modified?
Sir, we have a situation. This one is a gardener.
Copy that. Proceed, Corporal.
I'm booking you for food code violation under Article 357-44, Section 22-11-9-11, and you have 3 days to comply.
Oh, am I complying? You mean rip up my vegetable garden? Who do you think you are? Barging into my house, guns drawn like you're in Baghdad? You're a disgrace to the uniform of the country! And for what? A couple of turnips? What's so dangerous?
Like, woo! Stop waving that thing around! Drop it! Drop it! Put the vegetable down on the ground, ma'am, and nobody will be hurt.
Get out of my house, or I will notify the authorities!
We are the authorities. Corporal, confiscate the contraband.
Acknowledged!
They pull out hazardous disposal bags, put on gloves and surgical masks, and pick up the vegetables, trying to hold them at arm's length and dump them into the hazardous waste bag. The corporal gets some tomato juice squirted on him.
Sir, yes, sir! Ah! I got someone on me!
We gotta get him to decontamination.
There's no time.
It's a
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed that. It's a weird thing because I don't really go to InfoWars very often anymore. And my mate just said they're doing the film competition, so I thought, you know, why not? It's a chance to give people a few laughs, an excuse to get something creative done. I don't think it's going to win any prizes for sure, but it's a good exercise. You know, we did all the Foley work and getting the sounds and everything done for that radio play there. And I did all the voices as well, which was fun because I always wanted to do the, you know, the Life of Brian ladies and gentlemen, you know, Brian's mum. that's a great character. Always wanted to do that, and I finally got my chance. All right, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, which has had some, like, intense technical difficulties. You know those kind of times where you don't know what's going on? Is it you? Is it me? It's like a relationship with the computer. Anyway, final segment. If you wish to call in, this is your final chance. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. If you want to get on the air and discuss something, maybe you're having problems. I'm really good at helping people with their problems, apparently. A lot of people have told me so, but unfortunately, they still have lots of problems. Anyway, we're talking about scumbaggery, right? And how best to expose it. And I think, you know, everybody's got their own personal ability to expose a little bit of scumbaggery. You know, you ever called out a liar or something in a conversation or whatever and just instantly busted them? You know, that kind of thing. And there's many, many forms of exposing scumbaggery. You know, some people make comedy. Some people do radio. Some people literally do it everywhere they go. They see any scumbaggery, they point it out. And it's fair enough, isn't it? Because who wants to live in a society literally bathing in scumbaggery? It's a terrible, terrible thing. Just imagine, everywhere you look, scumbaggery. Lurking. Hiding. Sneaking. Stabbing. Clawing at you. From beneath the rug, from atop the roof of the chemtrails, and that everywhere else conceivable. You know, scumbaggery is coming at you. Be afraid, be very afraid. There's scumbaggery everywhere. You know? And I'm serious about this, by the way. And I think I've done this before on the show. I talk about just, you know, the many times, if you were paying attention, you would notice scumbaggery in your everyday life. Just think about it. It's the first thing you do when you wake up. You might look outside the window. Oh, there's a chemtrail. There's scumbaggery. So then you roll out of bed, which is incidentally on a mattress which is over 2 years old, which is illegal in the European Union because of the amount of terrible back support that gets lost with an old mattress, you know. Getting on your shoes that are made from some sweatshop, eating your cereal that's got literally iron flaked into it, getting your coffee down you with your refined sugar. It's practically like drinking bleach. It's a toxin. Getting into your car, sucking down all the poisonous gas fumes and everything from all the other cars around you. You know, and people in Cairo, it's like smoking two packs a day because of the pollution. It's probably about like that. Smoke up, Johnny. You're getting half of it from the exhaust fumes anyway. There's scumbaggery everywhere. And now we have a caller. And let's hope they don't exert a whole lot of scumbaggery. I seriously doubt it, though. Listener, you're on the call-in number, I think, 905 area code.
Yes, hello, Vincent. How are you?
I'm somewhat famous. To whom is the first name am I talking to?
This is Ron, and I'm calling from Canada.
Ryan and, from Canada.
I'm sorry?
Did you say Ryan or Ron?
I'm Ron, R-O-N.
Oh, yeah. So, Ron from Canada, how can we help you today?
Can you hear me okay?
just perfectly.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm calling from the fabulously chemtrailed capital of Canada near Hamilton, Ontario. And we haven't seen a brilliant blue sky here in months, so.
Oh, no. Seriously? Is it that often?
Yeah, it's pretty bad up here, man. They're totally geoengineering the heck out of us up here, right? Like the spring has been horrible. The birds can't nest, you know, because it's too cold. You know, they're blocking the sun out. You know, so it's just a lovely, happy spring we're having up here.
That's nice, man. You know, imagine that. A nice environment that's free of woodland creatures. You know, you'd normally hear chirping of birds and rustling of squirrels, but instead now you're
What do we need birds for, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're just rats with wings.
Exactly. Anyway, what you're talking about, getting on to what you're talking about, I actually discussed this many months ago on the air with Mark Passio, of all people. And, you know, you talk about doing YouTube stuff, films, and that sort of thing. That's great. But for people who are like me, who are older and techno-stupid, that sort of thing doesn't work so well. But, you know, all it takes is your mouth. And I find that if you can get out there and plant seeds, it's an amazing thing. Perfect example was I had a one-hour discussion with a girl behind the counter who works at an organic food market here, and I couldn't believe how switched on she was. Just a young lady, probably about 22 years old. And we were just going on about all kinds of things, the dialectic process, Edward Bernays. Oh, it's like great stuff. You know, get it out. Talk to people. And you can use it. Some people are I find that a lot of people are very open to things like 9/11. You can get people talking about that sort of thing because a lot of people don't believe it, you know, in what happened there. But get them talking, and then if you can plant little seeds, if you can only talk to somebody for 2 minutes, shock them with something that you know that they're going to go onto the internet and look at. You know what I mean? Do whatever you can. Just put the word out. And that's kind of what I do, right?
Yeah. I mean, do anything and everything, man. Whoever is in front of you. Like, if you've got a tool in front of you and it's not the same kind of tool that somebody else has got, you can't do the same work, can you? But you got your own tools. Oh. You can do your own thing.
No, you can. And I use my gift of gab, which I think, you know, try and wake people up here and there, and that's it. But, you know, for every, you have to be able to take, you know, the little, how should I put it, the little disappointments too, because you'll think this is funny, because I know your show is very humorous, and I actually had to laugh about it, but that same girl I talked to that day, she made my morning, you know, and I felt great. But then I went into work in the evening, and I'm sitting in the cafeteria eating my lunch, and there's some other guys sitting around. And what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about something called the Bud Light. And it's this light, okay? It has Budweiser on it. And for $150, you can get it off the internet, and you bring it home, and you put it in your room where you watch sports. And it's like a goal light, okay? So in hockey, when they're watching hockey here, which is a big sport, this connects to your computer and all the games. So whatever game you're watching, the light will go off in your room. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Right. What? See,
so, you know, for every up, there is a down.
Yeah, well, yeah. But the thing is, they didn't actually say or do anything to you to personally insult you. They were just involving themselves in something that you think is a really, really poor example of humanity by any stretch of the imagination. Like, you poor slave souls.
And there's another guy I watch at work. I mean, this guy's a poster boy, okay? I swear this guy is probably in the top 10 rated internet players of World of Warcraft over the internet or something. The guy's like, he's totally like, he sits and he eats his food and he looks at his iPod the whole time. Doesn't say anything to anybody. Right? So, you know, you got those types, and I just consider those the lost people. So, you know, I don't bother with them. But people who you can talk with, you know, just get out there and talk it. I mean, if you don't have the resources like myself.
Ron, do you think about this waking people up as kind of like triage of the battlefield? You know how when on, what was it, Saving Private Ryan, how the older medic is kind of teaching the younger medic, you know, this one's not a priority, he's already gone,
actually, you have to do that. And when I refer back to Mark Passio, who I think is absolutely brilliant, I know you've had him on your show, he has this great acronym. It's called ABLE. Okay, you have awake, so those are the people who are awake. You have the blind, who are the people that you can probably, you know, try and wake up and get to. That's the people you want to get to. Then you have the lost, which are the people I just described. And then you have enemy, which is enemy, well, you avoid the enemy, okay? So
you absolutely must avoid the enemy. There's so many of those scum out there who are just dangerous and really bad people. And the problem is you can't actually go and expose them to the public or actually try to go to war with them, because you'll lose, because you'll play by moral rules. And, you know, there's certain things that you won't do in order to mess this guy's life. You know, you try to play the clean battle. He'll fight dirty and you'll be screwed, mate, because you won't be able to defend yourself.
When it comes to the enemy, the way I look at it, it's like putting a lightweight fighter in the boxing ring with Mike Tyson. The only chance the lightweight fighter has of winning or getting around the guy is like bobbing, weaving, using your speed, you know, being around the outside and never letting him get that one punch at you, right? And that's what you gotta kind
of tire him out.
Is skirt things, you know what I mean? And that's about all you can do as far as I'm concerned with that. But, you know.
That's right. Float like a protester, sting like a taser.
That's awesome, man. You're the best, dude.
All right. We'll see you again sometime. Ron, thanks for calling in, bro, and all the other callers as well. Been a nice day.
Okay, you take care, Vinny.
Cheers, bro. See you later. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. Bear in mind, we're listener-supported, so if you can subscribe or donate, please do. See you again sometime.